Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, August 27th, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 100 and we're beginning with the fourth paragraph, which starts, "Assuming we are spiritually fit." We'll read through two paragraphs and comment on both, ending with, "He would escape the alcohol problem." Today's readers are Stacy W. for the 12 Steps, Nan K. for the 12 Traditions, Kathleen O., and Melanie C. The reference number for the 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time special edition for yesterday, August 26, is 11835. That's 11,835. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is, for August 27, 2018, is 11,836. That's 11836. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stacy W. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. My name is Stacy W., a compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy W. And I'll now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Nan Kay, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, a group ought never endorse, finance, I'm sorry, I can't go on. Can someone pick up for me?
Okay. Anybody have that handy? Hang on just a minute here. Let's see.
Rebecca.
This is Stacy.
Hello, and I have it too.
Okay. Well, Stacy, please go ahead with starting with tradition five.
Okay. Five. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, since the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much for your service, Nan and Stacy. Really appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to about 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book, and we are on page 100, reading the fourth paragraph, beginning with assuming we are spiritually fit. We're going to read and comment on two paragraphs, and I will ask Kathleen O. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap, and even there an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem. And let me make sure my time is going to be... So this is Kathleen O. in Northern California, and I love these paragraphs. So assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. And there is a beautiful and very powerful four-panel special edition yesterday on this very topic. And these women will describe what it means and what it looks like to be spiritually fit if you have any questions about it. And it was really excellent. So if you haven't listened to it, listen to it. So these paragraphs tell us that we can live and participate socially in the world abstinently, that we don't have to avoid life. We can go places and do things where there is food and it won't tempt or call to us if we're spiritually fit. And An alcoholic, well, let's see, we meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. So this is telling us what the problem is. If the food's still calling to us, we're not spiritually fit, and we need to enlarge on our spiritual condition. And because if we're not spiritually fit, we will take the bite. And that's like a really good indicator of, am I or am I not spiritually fit? So that mental obsession that fills every thought in our head with how are we going to get it, where are we going to get it, what are we going to eat, with there's no space for any other thought, that mental obsession will drive us back into the food. But when we're spiritually fit, we're promised freedom from that mental obsession. And I have to tell you, it's true and it works. You know, I need to be spiritually fit to get a daily reprieve from fighting the food and fighting life. If I'm not fighting anything or anyone, including the food, which is one of the promises, it's a good indicator that I'm spiritually fit. You know, I have to ask myself, how are my personal relationships? How am I interacting with people throughout the day? Am I neutral around the food? Do I feel safe and protected? And if these things are not resonating, I need to like pay attention to, you know, my spirituality and am I staying connected? So when I stay spiritually fit, the problem's removed and I can go anywhere and be around any type of situation. And when I first got abstinent, you know, I remember I used to go to Starbucks every morning and buy all the garbage that was there. And it was on my way to work. And when I got abstinent, I would drive by that Starbucks every day. And this little voice would, you know, kind of go, oh, you need to stop there. And I would immediately say, you know, I mean, I was like talking to my addict, I guess. I said, you know, I'm not stopping there today. Maybe I will tomorrow. And I just did that for about 30 days to where I didn't even notice when I was driving by Starbucks. And when I go into Starbucks today, I remember I went in one day and looked in the case and the food looked like cardboard. And I thought, that's really weird that I think this looks like cardboard now. When I examined a little closer, I think maybe it was cardboard. But, you know, it's great to be able to go places. I can go to the movies. I can smell the popcorn. It does smell good. But I have no desire to eat it. And I've hit my time. I'm having a hard time. Tell me when I have time, when I've hit my time.
Send a reminder.
Okay, I'll stop there. I could go on, but I'll stop. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. I appreciate your share. So who else would like to comment on these two powerful paragraphs?
Eileen S.
Melissa C.
Paula D. Paula D.
Rebecca T.
Rebecca T.
Patty T.
And Patty T. Sounds great. Eileen, anybody else? Okay. We've got Eileen S., Melissa C., Paula D., Rebecca T., and Patty T. Please go ahead, Eileen. You'll be followed by Melissa.
Okay, great. Thank you. I can't believe I got in first. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Very happy to be on the line with all of you guys. I was just laughing as I heard this. I really wasn't planning on sharing, but I just had to share this. Okay, I love these paragraphs. So Saturday night, I went on a date to the county fair here in Oregon, or the state fair, actually. And we all know the food, they're always advertising the latest deep fried fill in the blank. And you know what? I brought food for me and my date because I didn't know what they were going to have, and I was pretty sure it wasn't going to be food that I wanted to eat. And you know, it's so funny. It was like I wanted to see what they had because it's so hilarious. It's just so hilarious, you guys. And we sat down and we were eating our food, my abstinent yummy food that I made for both of us. And this young couple sat down next to us, and she had something that I was like, I said to her, "What is that?" It was deep fried Oreos. And she said, "Would you like one?" And I just laughed because my date knows that I'm in OA. And it was just hilarious. Like, no, thank you. That's great. You know, and I had zero desire for any of those things. It was really kind of it was like this odd curiosity of what weird deep fried things are they serving this year. And anyway, I just had to share that with you guys because I had a great time dancing. They had animals there. I got to live my life. I got to live my life not run by the pull of the food. Should I have this or should I have this or should I have this, which Kathleen just mentioned. So I'm just so grateful to have neutrality with food right now. I'm just going to tell you guys a quickie little off the subject thing. I have a job interview today that I'm studying for this morning and prepping for, and I really want this job, and I don't know if it's God's will. I think it might be, but I don't know. So I'm going to bring all of you guys with me. The room will be very crowded with God and all of you pulling for me, and just very grateful to be on the line with all of you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen. Ask best wishes for your interview.
Thank you.
Melissa C is up next. I've heard John Kay was added on the line, so you're on the list now too. So Melissa Kay will be followed by Paula D. Please go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, it's Melissa C, not Melissa K.
Oh, Melissa.
Yeah,
oh,
it's Melissa
thank
C.
Thank you.
thank you. That's okay. Thanks. It's Melissa C, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And I have to jump on this part because I just got home from being away yesterday, being on vacation, and we were away camping. And, you know, we go with a huge group of people, tons of food and alcohol around. It's just sort of what the nature of this trip seems to be. And, you know, I can go and be surrounded by those things. It just doesn't interest me. It doesn't, it's not on my radar. It's like in my peripheral vision. I'm not focused on it. You know, I'm very, thank God, it's not a matter of willpower. You know, someone there had commented, gosh, you still, after all these years, Melissa, you have, like, amazing willpower. And, you know, I smile because sometimes it doesn't require my explaining it. It's not willpower. Like, the problem isn't removed. I'm not gritting my teeth. You know, so long as I'm spiritually fit. So what does that mean for me? It means, like, on vacation? I didn't have great reception, so I wasn't always able to hear the meetings clearly, but I was able to hear pieces of it. I continue to do my daily work. I continue to correspond as best I could with sponsees, you know, to work with others, to find my quiet time to maintain conscious contact with my higher power. I brought all my food with me. You know, I ate exactly the same regardless of where I go. Because, you know, my abstinence is non-negotiable. You know, and the other thing I just wanted to say is I could be in the house alone with a house full of food, you know, which is something that I could never do before. And if I'm not in a spiritually fit position, I've also been in the house in a snowstorm with nothing to eat in this house that you would think would be, you know, a binge food, and yet I found a way to create any alcoholic food substances out of what was in the cabinet. So it really is a matter of spiritual fitness, and thank God, because this disease isolated me enough, it alienated me enough. I certainly don't want my recovery to do that. You know, I want to be able to be amongst others so that I have something to offer. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Paula D., you're up next, followed by Rebecca T.
Well, thank you for the... Hello, this is Paula. Let me thank you first. I want to just make sure I'm correct on what was read, because I don't want to go beyond or before. Could you just give me that information?
Sure, Paula. We're reading the fourth paragraph beginning with on page 100, beginning with assuming we're spiritually fit. And we ended with the end of the second, we read two paragraphs, and we ended with he would escape the alcohol problem.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that, as always. Thank you for your service and adding that. This is Paula D., currently from New Hampshire at this moment, and that's what we speak of. You know, I love that. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things. And, you know, I didn't realize it. Imagine alcoholics, I thought the disease gave me so much freedom. It took away my freedoms. And here we see them added back. I can go anywhere today. Because not that anything changed on the outside, or even with people, which, you know what? They still have weddings, and guess what they bring? Food. They still have parties, and guess what they bring? Alcohol. So all of a sudden, that's not going to change. I can't change that, and I can't fix that. Maybe it's not even a problem for some. Who's to say? But coming here, we are spiritually fit. That's the part. That's what I have to put on every single day. Are you spiritually fit? Is that fitting well, girl? And then it says, we meet these conditions every day. Every day. And that's what I realize. I meet them. I don't run away from them. That's what I did. That's what I did. But that isn't what I do. And this part about an alcoholic mind, that's the part. There is something the matter with the spiritual status. So see, it's like when I go in a car, this isn't working right. What's wrong with that? The wipers aren't going. There's something wrong. But I got to tell you, as I sit here and I read, and the more I read, it is opening up doors that I thought were closed to me, because I can go anywhere. And as was shared, I would make something out of anything. I was so desperate for relief. I couldn't go anywhere, and I would stop myself. Oh, all your friends are going, well, I can't go there. Today I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere because of the foundation. It's solid now. It's solid. And how do I do that? I listen. I hear. The first thing I do is I go to God himself. And he gives me the strength, and he gives me the wisdom and the courage, as we say each day. So I thank you for this time that was given to me. And I appreciate it, and I pass on. And thank you very much again, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Paula D. Rebecca T., you're up next, followed by Patty T.
Hey, everyone. It's Rebecca T. from Bakersfield, California. Grateful, recovered for today, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for all of your shares. As usual, it's very inspiring. You know, my higher power always finds a way when I'm listening to let me know, you know, what I need to hear. And spiritually fit, yes. There's this checklist on the OA.org, and it's the abstinence checklist. And so I made sure I printed it off, and I look at it almost every day. And it helps me, it's a reminder, like, you know, am I doing all of these things? Because I don't want to relapse. And it's also a reminder, am I checking in? Am I in constant contact with my higher power? And I do, it's crazy. I also felt that when I was in the food, I thought there's so much freedom there. I can do what I want, when I want, whatever it is I want in my mouth. And how crazy is that? Because the truth was, I was a slave. That's not freedom. I was an absolute slave to the food. I was a slave to the thoughts. I was a slave to what I had to have. I couldn't stop. And that was the same in my thoughts and my mind. I was a slave to, how someone thought about me, how I would perform, how much I would do. Boundaries were all askew. I was afraid of making friends, you know. Would I be liked? You know, that was a slave. And so now, when I put all that down, I surrendered to that. And I said, I don't know, but you know what? You do. My higher power does. My higher power can free me of that. So every morning and every night, no matter, it's not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but I get to say, wake up in the morning, and I get to do it again, and I get to ask for forgiveness, and I get to look at my side of the street, making very sure that it's as clean as I can possibly make it. And that brings freedom, and that brings joy. And the fear slowly goes away and subsides. And I can show up, and that's what's cool. I thought before I would that I gave so much service to others. But, you know, it wasn't with a 100% pure mind. It was with fear. It was with a sense of duty, you know, and I don't have to feel that way anymore. It's with true and pure love that I give service. And what the gift is, you know, I get that back, you know, tenfold every day. Thank you so much for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Rebecca T. Patty T., you're up next, followed by John K.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Good Monday morning. Thank you so much for your service, and the shares have been fantastic. This is Patty T. from recovered from Southern California. And you guys, I had to laugh when it talked about a wife sending her husband someplace like the Greenland ice cap. Believe it or not, I've been there. And when this book was written, there was probably nothing there but maybe one Eskimo with a bottle. But, you know, by the time I got there in the 70s, there were smorgasbords and buffets at the military bases that I toured as a performer, and bars galore. And I was right in the middle of all of it. And I didn't know, of course, then that I was a compulsive eater. I had no idea, but I did have to smile at that because, you know, when I am not in spiritually fit, any place is a binge place. Any place is a place where my disease will act out, not can, but will. And so what I have to do every day in this abstinence is find my way to my higher power. And I have to tell you, I have such gratitude for this meeting and such gratitude for the people on this phone line, because this is one of the ways I do that each and every day. You know, I get up, I say my prayers, I turn it over to my higher power, and I get on this meeting so that I can hear levels of recovery that I aspire to get to. And, you know, when it says we must meet these conditions every day, I have to do that every day. And even when I do, there are times when you know, that disease wants to wiggle in there, the thinking, you know, because my disease resides not in my mouth, but in my mind. And I have that formula now. I can send that tenth step to someone, you know, and I can look at what's underneath that irritability and discontentedness or whatever. And it may seem like a little thing, but then when I look at it through a tenth step and send it off and give it to God and make a phone call, I realize that I have just replaced myself. I've taken, you know, I've corrected my spinal column, you know, like a chiropractor, and that's gotten me, and then I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere, including the ice cap, and be free of food obsession, and be able to join others and experience people, which is something that I didn't allow myself to do my entire life. So I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you for all of you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. John Kay, you're up next, and then we'll take some more shares.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is John Kieran, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Assuming we are spiritually fit, that is the gotcha. You know, today, you know, that obsession has been removed for me, but I also know it's that temporary contingent upon a fit spiritual condition. You know, I have to continually work and realize my disease is constantly going to try to coax me back, find another thing to say that'll sound logical at the moment. And I have to be willing to go to any lengths. I need to remember, you know, when God got me out of a relapse 23 years ago, a bad one, a multi-year relapse, but I'm abstinent now, and I know my higher power will never take away my absence. I will give it away, and that's why I have to put it first, you know, without exception, and make this commitment to abstinence. You know, I always share that to me, a real commitment to abstinence means that it's a different way of looking at things. Imagine there's 100 bakeries on one street, and you stop and you look in each of those bakeries one at a time and go, no, I'm not going to do that. And you go to the second, and you, no, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, the trouble is by the time you get to the 99th one, you may be going, well, you know, I've been so good so far. But the thing is a commitment to abstinence means that you walk down that street, and you don't even see a bakery after a while. I know it's true with me. And I know it's been said here, you know, already, but it's also a huge indicator. If all of a sudden I'm standing at Starbucks waiting for an iced tea and that stuff in the case is looking interesting, it's like, okay, what's going on here? Time for a quick little mental checklist, and I think it's important. One other thing I'll say is these two paragraphs, I read these almost every retreat I lead, and I read them in reference to meetings, and meetings that say we can't speak about specific foods, you know, because to me, you know, here it is in the big book, of course we can, if we're spiritually fit, and that we need to not be making food our higher power, and to tell newcomers, oh, we have to be so scared about living in life that we can't even, the slightest mention of a food, you know, and the idea, oh, well, we could send a newcomer out. You know, I learned from another program, I'm nobody's higher power. And whatever I say, it doesn't matter what I say at a meeting, they're going to go out, they're going to hit 15 billboards for all kinds of goodies or get home and watch TV and see 15 commercials. And the important thing to me is I need to remember I have a higher power that's going to help me, and it ain't food. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, John Kay. Appreciate all these shares. We read on page 100, the fourth paragraph, starting with assuming we are spiritually fit. We read and are commenting on two paragraphs ending with he would escape the alcohol problem. Who would like to share on those two paragraphs?
Ginger C.
Sherry KB.
Ginger C. Sherry KB.
Connie,
I heard Sherry. Connie, Layatd. Hang on just a second. So far I have Ginger C, Sherry KB, Sherry S, I believe, Connie C, and Layatd. Did I miss anybody? Jordan L.
Bonnie D.
Okay. I'm not sure. I think the last one I heard was Bonnie T. I'm not sure if we have time for everybody, but let's see how we do. Ginger C, you're up first, followed by Sherry KB. Please go ahead, Ginger.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Oh, great. Thanks again for your continued service. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, this paragraph that we read takes me back to 26. At the bottom, it says, but this man still lives and is a free man. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. He can go anywhere on this earth where other free men may go without disaster, provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. And it's just following this work, doing it like my life depends on it. You know, yesterday's shower doesn't keep me clean today. I have to wash, rinse, repeat. And I never can stop. I have to work this daily, like my hair's on fire. And I can say ever since I left Virginia Beach almost 3 years ago, I have not stopped. And I really commend and just applaud those. We have one that's a co-founder on the lines. She has not stopped. I just listened to this amazing AA speaker. He has not stopped, you know, and they can go anywhere and they are free. And not only can they go anywhere, but they can do tremendous service because the sunlight of the spirit, God, is bright and beaming out of them. Their hearts are open. They're into love and connection and to maximizing this work, to be able to reach their hand out to that person in the quicksand that's still drowning. And some are on the lines right here, right now with us. Sadly, more than recovered people are out and in the food. So I just pray. I think my biggest mantra is just don't stop.
don't stop. And I just am so grateful for this powerful meeting, because I don't know if I'd be persevering as strong and as being as engaged and connected as I am without it. I know it's about a higher power, and I know it's staying close and connected to keep me safe and protected. But this energy, this excitement, I wake up every morning excited to get back on the line and hear this message in this big book. And how amazing this big book. This is it, just reading a book and all that's happened. I was always plagued by food. I never was free. I would go down anywhere and just obsess and see it and want it. And to be neutral, that was like the biggest first aha moment with this recovery state of mind and body. It was like, oh my God, I am for once not thinking about food. Unbelievable. Talk about excitement. Yeah, I kept doing the work with my sponsor. I wanted more. So again, I think the biggest thing is you just don't stop. You have to keep moving a muscle because your life depends on it. You can get this entire psychic change and you can lose it by resting on your laurels and stopping. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Sharon S.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. Assuming we are spiritually fit, for me, what does spiritually fit mean? That I'm abstinent, the food's been down, I'm abstinent happily and contently because God is taking care of that for me, because before, when I was trying to do the Sherry show, I was always white-knuckling it. So I couldn't always go to places because I was white-knuckling it. But being spiritually fit to me is being abstinent happily and contently, means that I've gone through the steps and I live in 10, 11, and 12. So I can go anywhere on this earth, even the green Iceland cap. What I think of, too, is that I go to the sister program that they have a potluck every year, and I've gone for years, and I always bring my food. And I sometimes go, and for years people would tease me about me bringing my own food. Sometimes people would say, hey, what are you eating? And sometimes people would just, you know, say, why do you have to bring your food? And I just kept doing it. And in the last couple of years, some other people started bringing their food. And one person came up to me and said, you know, I've watched you through the years bring your food. And I thought, you know what, if Sherry's doing it, so can I. And so, you know, that's just an example. Also, when I've been in other people's homes, I don't make a big deal out of, you know, I have to have this food or whatever. I just, I bring my food, I put it in the car. If the food at the place that I'm at happens to be the food I can eat, then I eat their food. If it's not, then I've got it in the car. I just really take care of myself. But also, I don't try to impress upon anybody that they should eat the way I do. I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to get my family to eat this way. And I'm like, you know what, based on attraction rather than promotion. And also just feeling spiritually fit, I can go to places. If something's calling me, it doesn't mean that I'm not abstinent, but it could be that maybe something's going on. And today, for me, food's a messenger to tell me, Sherry, something's wrong, something's going on. If I'm having food thoughts, that means something's going on, and I do need to go do a 10th step. I do need to go make a call. But otherwise, you know, being in fit spiritual condition, and if I'm not, then it's best that I go work with go help another person and stay away from those sordid places. But, you know, otherwise, I can do this with God's help. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Sharon S., you're up next, followed by Connie C. Might have been Shannon S. And I might have got it all wrong altogether in a flurry of names. Okay. Perhaps we'll move on to Connie C. And if I did miss you, Sharon or Shannon, you can jump in and let me know.
Good morning. This is Connie, recovering in Colorado.
Hi, Connie.
Good morning. Recovering food addict. Hi. So I'm out for my walk, and I love this part of the book. So I just had to sit down in a shady spot and share my experience with this, because if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I can go anywhere. And So I did this long walk in Spain a couple of years ago, and I was so worried about the wine pouring out of walls. I don't know if you've heard about that, but there's wine actually that just comes out of a wall and you can drink it as much as you want. And I was very worried about that. And then I thought, well, I need to be concerned about my food as well. So I packed an abstinent bar for every day, and it was very heavy. But I did that for my abstinence, thinking that I would be able to eat with no problem. Well, I was walking 10 to 26 miles a day, and the only thing that they fed me on, the only thing that was available was bread. And so the first day, I go to breakfast, and it's a pear and a croissant, and I eat the pear, and I walk 10 miles. And so I was going to be there for 2 months, so I had to make a decision. And I loved this woman the other day, shared about this woman in Puerto Rico, and all she's getting is junk. So I had to trust that God was going to take care of me. I was there on a spiritual journey. I felt very connected. And so I did eat bread. I didn't eat sugar, which was optional. And I did get good meals in between. So when I got home, this is the part. I thought, oh, well, so the insanity returned, and I thought, oh, well, I did so good over there that I can eat wheat here. And, of course, that's not the case. And because I still have an allergy of my body. Well, my husband had been eating really poorly while I was gone. And so we did this cleansing diet. It was specific to see what he was allergic to. Am I done? And what I was allergic to. Anyway, I'll speed this up. So during that process, I saw that, oh, I was really allergic to flour. And that after being abstinent from it again for 6 weeks, I could put it down. Well, then I ran into two wonderful friends in Colorado, and they were both of them had their hair on fire with this program. And I thought, wow, that is God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. So I got into Vision, and my life has totally changed since then.
Gentle
reminder.
And
I'm so grateful for it. Thank you. One more thing. So I have this plaque on my wall, and it's Footprints in the Sand. And you know what? I look back at that whole episode, and I see where God was carrying me every step of the way. And I feel so grateful and so blessed to have this program and you ladies and this way of life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie C. Leah TD, you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Yes, good morning. I hope it's not too noisy. I'm walking.
Hi, Leah.
Wow, thanks.
It is.
Can you hear me?
It is a little bit of a difficult connection. Is there any adjustment you might be able to make?
Can you bump me to the next person? After the next person?
I can. We'll have Jordan L. come now, and then Leah TD will join us. Jordan L.?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. This is Jordan L., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just wanted to share real quickly and sort of tie this in with another paragraph that we've read recently, and that's that burn into the man of your or the mind of your man that he can recover under any conditions, right? And I kind of see these two as going hand in hand. I remember the last time I got abstinent, it wasn't with OA. I met this lady in a meeting, and she had given me a food plan, and luckily it was a food plan that didn't really include any non-abstinent foods for me, so it seemed to work. From what I could tell, I followed the food plan and I lost a lot of weight, and it was very strict. It was it was weighing and measuring very strictly, and not an ounce over on this and not a gram over on that. And if you go over, then you haven't surrendered, and you have to eat at 8 o'clock every morning, and you have to eat lunch at 12:30 every day, and you have to eat dinner at 6 every night. And and like I said, it was okay. It worked for a while. I lost a lot of weight. Life got pretty good. I didn't keep working with that woman because she was, it was a bit much working with her. She wanted me to like move out of my house and stuff. And I kind of drew a line and was like, no, I think we got to stop working together. But anyway, what it is that I'm getting at, I got a life. I got skinny. I got a life. I got a boyfriend, a new job. I got like all the dreams came true, you know? And then I got drunk on the food again. So anyway, what it is that I'm getting at is that this time around coming in, I was not given any of those conditions to stay abstinent. This can work no matter what. This can work inside of you. this time around, I literally, I wasn't even trying to get abstinent. It wasn't even my intention. But God has bigger plans. So anyway, that's all I got this morning.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Leah TD, you want to go ahead? Leah TD, are you still with us? Okay. We only have time for one more share, so I'm going to ask Bonnie to go ahead. Am I being
Hello.
Heard?
Hi there.
Oh,
hi. Hi there. This is hi. Bonnie D. in Ventura, California.
Okay, thanks, Bonnie. You have about 2 minutes, okay?
Okay, just tell me when. I'll
stop. Okay, thanks. Okay, thank you.
Assuming we are spiritually fit, it was quite disturbing to me when I was first putting down the food and working the steps. I would tell my husband, don't eat that in front of me. Eat it somewhere else. Then one day he was sitting in front of the TV eating my bench food, and I said, I thought I asked you not to do that. Excuse me. But I quickly realized that the food was not calling to me. Through working the steps, I realized he was not following my script. Neutral with the food was a grace God granted to me. But I had to at first ask, what is neutral? I just didn't know. What I found, there were many answers from many people, so I went to the dictionary. And I suggest that. I found I needed to be neutral on my food behaviors. That was part of the problem. I grew compassion for my loving husband because it's selfish for me to want him to follow my script. I came to know of the allergy of the food and my alcoholic type mind, having a mental pause. God must have removed the food obsession, and I have faith that he's going to work on these food behaviors. If I don't work the steps and keep the unfit food behaviors down, then I could very easily go back to food is the solution. Control an alcoholic behaviors, like the obsessive compulsive mind.
Gentle reminder.
Okay. is not the solution. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much, Bonnie. And I'm sorry, Leah TV, we weren't able to get to you. And thanks for everybody who has shared. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Melanie C. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you